In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fires of your love. Send forth, Lord Jesus, your Spirit, and all things shall be created afresh, and you will renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, God our Father, you instructed the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant that by the gift of the same Spirit we may be always truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So welcome to tonight's session. And we continue our investigation into that sentence in the Creed which says, we believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And I said to you before that those four adjectives, one holy Catholic Apostolic, they're describing words, they're describing the Church, and they tell us a huge amount about what the Church really is. And we've dealt over the last couple of weeks with the two terms, the Church is one, the Church is holy. Now we come to the meaning of the word Catholic. And the word Catholic wasn't thought up so that you could distinguish between Catholics and Protestants. The word Catholic describes the Church in itself. And this is how it came to be used. The Jews, our Lord was a Jew. The Jews were the chosen people of God. And because they were the chosen people of God, they were meant, Isaiah makes it very clear, they were meant to be the light of the nations. God was instructing the Jews so that through the Jews, the whole world might learn about God and come to worship God, and all the nations would stream to Jerusalem. This is the great image, the great vision in the Old Testament, that God was making the Jews into his people so they could be a kind of nation of priests who would then bring all the nations into the knowledge and love of God. But it didn't quite work out like that, because the Jews tended to think that because they were God's people, they were special. Now, they were special. They were very special. But they thought that because they were so special, everybody else was not so special. And so they divided the world into us and them. Us, the Jews, and everybody else. And they called everybody else the Gentiles. So it didn't matter whether you were Greek or Italian or German, whatever you were a Gentile. You were a non-Jew. So world divided into Jews and Gentiles. Great divide. And that was generally understood among the Jews, that they were God's chosen people, which they were. You must never forget that. They were God's chosen people. But they got this idea that because they were God's chosen people, everybody else wasn't God's chosen people. And they even began to think that everybody else were beyond the pale. They were outside of the sphere of God's love. That they were God's chosen people and everybody else was sinners. Outside the pale. Now, our Lord came and he focused on God's chosen people. He preached all the time to the Jewish people. And he told the disciples when they were practicing, the apostles when they were practicing their mission, not to go outside of Israel. Stay within Israel. Israel, in our Lord's book, had the right to be instructed, first of all. The instructions that had gone on over 2,000 years from Abraham to this point was now reaching its fulfilment. The Jews were to be brought to the completion of their understanding of God's revelation by the coming of Christ, a Jew among Jews. But through the activity of the high priestly family, Caiaphas, and the Pharisees, then in power in Jerusalem, Jesus was rejected. And these people persuaded the crowds to reject Jesus as well. And so when our Lord had died and risen from the dead, and the church was established, and it began preaching Christ, risen from the dead, it went first to the Jews and preached to the Jews that this Jesus who they had crucified was in fact the Messiah. But they didn't like being told that. And Peter bent over backwards and said, look, it wasn't your fault, you didn't know what you were doing. But they didn't like it and wouldn't accept it. And began to persecute the Christians. So the first persecution that the Christians encountered was a persecution among the Jews themselves. They persecuted the Christians. They wouldn't accept the word. Then Paul comes on the scene and he starts to speak to the Jews in the diaspora. Now the diaspora was... the Jews were always sort of dispersing themselves into different countries, as they always have done, and are to this very day. There are Jews in every nationality. And Paul made it his business to go to the Jews in the different countries outside of Israel to tell them the good news that one of their people, one of their nation, Jesus, was in fact the Messiah, that he died on the cross, but had risen from the dead. And was Lord. And every synagogue he went to and preached, they rejected him. And then St. Peter was having a siesta on the roof one warm day, one hot day. And he was snoozing. And as he snoozed, he had a vision. He saw a great sheet coming down, hung by its four corners, coming down from heaven. And in it were animals which the Jews regarded as unclean. Now, that was an ancient Jewish thing, that some animals were clean, some animals you could eat, some animals were unclean, and you couldn't eat them. And this sheet was filled with unclean animals. The voice said, Peter was beginning to feel hungry, feeling peckish, waiting for his dinner to cook downstairs. And the voice said, Peter, get up and kill some and eat it. And Peter said to the voice, not on your Nelly. I'm not going to eat something which is unclean. I've never eaten anything unclean in my life. So I'm not going to eat anything now. And the voice said, you must not call unclean what God regards as clean. And with that, the thing went back up to heaven. And then there was a knocking on the door downstairs. And it was a Roman, one of the unclean people, a Gentile, seeking baptism. And Peter realized that God was saying, look, the Gentiles are not unclean. They are the people that you're being sent to preach to. And Paul came to exactly the same conclusion through the rejection of him and his message by the Jews. And he said, okay, if that's how you feel, we've given you the first opportunity to know God's secret, which has now been revealed, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. If you don't want it, then we're turning to the Gentiles. And so, the church then, officially, they came to Jerusalem and they discussed it, and they said, right, okay, the message will go out to the Gentiles. So the apostles dispersed then, partly because of the persecution of them in Israel, but also because they wanted to spread the message, and mainly under the leadership of St. Paul, he spearheaded it, they set about preaching the good news. They called it the good news, and that's where we get the word gospel from. Gospel is the old English word God spell, meaning good news. So they set out to preach the good news, the gospel, to the Gentiles. And unlike with the Jews, they had tremendous success. They had tremendous success. So they went into Greece, they went into Macedonia, they went on into Italy, they went into Africa, they went into the Middle Eastern countries around Jerusalem, around Israel, and they preached Christ. And people believed it, they accepted it, and they became believers. They became members of the church. Now, at that point, something happened which was completely unheard of in the ancient world. That people who spoke different languages, followed different customs, lived in different countries with different laws, all became one family. And that belonging to the church made them brothers and sisters, even though one was black and the other was white, one was Italian, the other was Greek, that suddenly all the divisions between nationality and language and culture, suddenly all those divisions just disappeared. And you had something that was super national. It was above nationality, it was above language, it was above culture, and it was above education too. So it didn't matter whether you were highly intelligent or whether you were a slave. It didn't matter whether you were of the nobility or whether you were a slave. You could join it. And this was the church. And so it encompassed every type of person. Old and young, rich and poor, upper class, lower class, every language, every culture, just everything. It no longer mattered what kind of person you were. You didn't have to be holy, as long as you wanted to be holy. You could be anything. And you could join it. And once you joined it, you became part of a family that was kind of worldwide and spreading rapidly. And that was the first time that ever happened. And for that reason, the church, they started calling the church Catholic. Because the word Catholic means universal. It's open to everybody. There are no conditions joining it, except faith in the Lord Jesus and the gospel. But if you believe in Christ and in the message of the gospel and accept baptism, which was what the Lord asked of those, you were in. And so you had then this phenomenon which appeared on the face of the earth called the church. It was the first time ever. You had something which was completely over and above all the distinctions that we make for ourselves. And people like to be different. People like to be different. And because we like to be different, that, you know, most of the wars in history have been fought. Because people do different things in different ways, and or the same thing in different ways. Got different ideas about how to go about things, but suddenly all that just faded away. And there was no longer any distinction between anybody. Belonging to this organisation, you were equal with everybody else. And so it became known as the Catholic Church. Not differentiating it from anything else, it just that was a characteristic of it. Just as you say a woman is beautiful because she's beautiful. So you said the church is Catholic because it's Catholic. That's the nature of the church. Christ established, this is what Christ had in mind, a community that would be utterly and absolutely worldwide and totally inclusive of everybody. So everybody would become a brother or a sister of everybody else. Because within the family, everybody are equal, aren't they? Within your family. And this growth of the church where everybody are united together, this is where that other quality of the church is one. Church is one. This brings oneness to the world. Because although we're different in our language and our culture and our ways of thinking, yet through the church we're all equal and the same. And this is what God wants. This is what the kingdom is to bring all people together in unity and peace and brotherhood and love. Because the church is God's family. And what God wants is for this church to spread to the ends of the earth. And for everyone to be a member of it. That's why, in line with what we're saying at the moment with this mission team, you know, we've all got a responsibility to try and bring people into this community, which is God's will. You know, we're not trying to get people into the Catholic Church because it's we've got new members in the Catholic Church. There, you know, the church is growing bigger. We want it to grow big. Is this what God wants? This is the kingdom. This is what He wants. He wants people to come into it, and be part of it, and be part of this unique Catholic family. And so that's the nature of the church. The church is, of its very nature, Catholic. And therefore, you know, with the greatest possible respect towards the Church of England or the Church in Wales, it's a contradiction in terms. Say the Church of England. It's a contradiction in terms. The Church is not for England or the English or for any nation. The Church must be an international thing. And that's why it's so nice, I'm so pleased that, you know, in our parish, you've got people like Ava, you know, who's Polish. As much part of the parish as people who are born and bred in Wales. Yeah. And so this term Catholic, it's very easy for us to think of Catholic as an adjective used to describe a part of the church which is not Protestant, to differentiate us from others. Are you a Catholic? No, I'm a Methodist. We tend to think of Catholic as part of the church, but the word Catholic means the church, the whole church, how the church should be. And it's only these groups which have broken away from the church at the Reformation which have given themselves names like, you know, the Church of England or Church of Ireland or whatever. So when we profess our faith in the Catholic Church, we are professing our own faith in our own belonging to something which is utterly and absolutely worldwide, which brings people together. And for that very reason, despite all that's said and done in politics, there's only one way in which mankind can live completely at peace and harmony and love with one another, in justice and peace, is through the church. So in one sense, the church is kind of political. In one sense, I know we try and keep politics and church separate, but to live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to live according to his rule, to live as a member of the church, is to have a set of ideas and ideals for human life and behaviour and the governance of nations. And so, you know, it is politics in one sense. It is. It's right at the heart, it should be the very heart of, you know, all political debate. But anyway, so that's what we mean by the word, you know, the church is Catholic. Okay? We'll stop that for a moment.